Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today at AT&T Park in San Francisco, we venture into the Brewers clubhouse and talk to Milwaukee manager Craig Counsell.
Craig, tell us a little bit about the way your ball club is playing and what are the challenges so far being a manager for the first time, taking over in the middle of the season?
Well, we've been, you know, we got off to a very poor start. We had some pretty significant injuries. And we just didn't play well. We've played pretty well. We coming off kind of a not a great series in Arizona, but prior to that, had really played well for a pretty good period of time. So, you know, it's your record's your record. You can't change your record, and you earn your record. It's an accurate description, you know, accurate to me of where you're at. But that's where we're at. So, and it's as far as the challenges of the job, it's been I think like any job that anybody takes, there's you know, you kind of think there's what you think going in, and then there's always more. You know, there's just more to everything. So nothing really surprising you, but there's just more to everything.
You've been on teams that have won the World Series, yet you've been on teams that, later in the season, struggling. And you get to this point in the year, and it's a trade deadline, and a lot of guys have that maybe on their mind. How do you motivate the players down the stretch, you know, at this time of the year when you've had a tough start, like you said?
Well, we haven't had a problem with that, and we haven't had a problem with that. I think the game is motivation. It really is. There's competition every 3 hours, and if your mind is elsewhere, you've got no chance. So I don't think that's as hard as people make it out to be, because the guys in that clubhouse, they're here because they love to compete, and because they love that 3 hours every night. So no matter what I think guys get real good at tuning distractions out. That's part of being a big leaguer. And I think if you've gotten to this level, you're good at getting rid of distractions. And I think our guys that have been quote rumored have played at their best baseball this time of year, quite honestly.
Look at Cole Hamels through a no-hitter, and he's getting ready to get traded. Tell us a little bit about, you know, being a part of the game as a player. You were in a front office executive. You've been a broadcaster. So a little bit of everything along the way. How much has that helped you? And did you have a mindset of a manager maybe all along when you were a player? When did you start thinking maybe like a manager?
Well, I think doing different things gives you a different perspective. And it's good to have a different perspective. It's good to know how other people, when you're dealing with them now in this job, you know, have a little sense of what they're thinking and where they're coming from and how they're making decisions. So it's been very helpful, for sure. I'm glad that I've experienced those things for sure. I think it's allowed me to have a little, better window into some of the decisions that are made, and have it just, it's good to know, have a feel for what people are thinking and what the people that you manage, you know, not just the players, but the training staff, the coaches, your front office, you know, what they're thinking.
We'll have more with Brewers manager Craig Counsell right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
How much of an appreciation do you have for the guys over on the other side in that dugout, winning three World Series the last 5 years, where they're not picked? They're never picked, really, to win. But Bruce Bochy does a great job, and it seems like they have a lot of grinded-out type of players, kind of like the type of player you were.
Well, they're the standard right now in baseball, and it's almost, to me, a little it's almost funny that they're not talked about as much as being the standard. I don't know if it's because they're in San Francisco or on the West Coast or what, but they are the standard in baseball right now, and nobody comes close. I don't think they haven't had dominant regular seasons. I think that's why. they sometimes get overlooked. But, you know, 3 and 5 years, if this was going on in the NFL, this would be – I mean, it would be it would be considered incredible. It really would. I mean, they would be Tom Brady. You know, somebody would be Tom Brady. There's no Tom Brady's on this team, and there should be. You know, Buster Posey should be Tom Brady, or Bumgarner should be Tom Brady, because that's what they've done. So it's impressive, and I think everybody that comes and sits in this locker room, you know, opposing teams that play them has an enormous amount of respect for, you know, not only what they've accomplished, but how they accomplish it.
How important are the guys like a Joe Panik or a Matt Duffy who's stepping up big for them? Because you know what that's like on a roster. It's not just about Posey and Baumgartner or, you know, the big name guys. Those other guys have to come through.
Well, I think you quickly learn that in this seat is that the 25 guys on your roster are, you know, they all matter and they all count and they all play significant roles. And you also on your good seasons, you need players to step up. And I don't know if step up's the right word, but to surprise you a little bit, you know. And I think Duffy's, you know, the guy for the Giants this year that is just, he's surprised probably that most of the Giants guys, I'm sure. I mean, he's hitting third in this lineup right now. Yeah. So, but that's what happens during good seasons is that you get a player who kind of surprises everybody and assumes a little bit bigger role.
But you have to believe in yourself. I mean, I remember when I first saw you in 1992, Bend, Oregon, there you were, an 11th round pick. I don't know that I saw a guy who was going to play 16 years in the major leagues, but you had to believe in it. So tell us, how do you get to that point if you're not the guy who's the first round pick, the top prospect, but you know you can play and contribute?
Well, it's, you know, I think there's certainly confidence. I mean, confidence is a huge part of this game. I think there's a, you know, that's a little bit of you know, of kind of, especially in today's player, I think they really have to put the blinders on a little bit. And because the, you know, there's this, you know, the prospects are, you know, especially for kids coming up in the minor leagues now, it's either you're a prospect or you're not,
right.
You know, and the guys that are deemed not the guys, you know, have to put these blinders on and just kind of be consistent and be almost, you know, relentless in how they do their jobs and how they go about it, and not kind of get caught, much like the trade deadline, not get caught up in what's being said and just focus on their job at the field on a daily basis.
More with the manager of the Brewers, Craig Counsell, after this. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective, and get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. And stay with us after this chat with Craig Counsell. We'll hear from Angel as she analyzes the delivery of Giants right-hander Chris Heston.
Speaking of being relentless, Randy Johnson just went in the Hall of Fame, a special day for all those guys who got inducted. And you played with him, and he just seemed like a guy who was relentless in his preparation to win 300 games and have all those strikeouts. So what was the perception you had of him as a teammate?
Yeah, I would say more relentless in his competitiveness, I think, is what I always thought. It was just he just competed at a different level. For whatever reason, he was able to get himself to this place of just, you know, almost like he always found something to compete against. You know, even when he kind of was at the top of the mountain, he found, you know, whether he started competing against Curt Schilling or whether he was competing against somebody who said he couldn't do it, he always found a way to just take himself to another level. And that fire, that competitive fire, never burned out. Even at, you know, 44 years old, he's still, you know, going and winning baseball games.
two of the other guys who went in, John Smoltz and Pedro Martinez, I looked up the numbers you had against them. Pretty remarkable. You hit over 400 against each guy. So if you batted against them every time, they wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame. But seriously, what kind of challenge did they present as a hitter against, you know, Smoltz and Pedro, because they were pretty dominating?
Well, Pedro to me was one of those guys that he was just – he was always like a step ahead of you. He was just so smart on the mound. In addition to having great stuff, he just – he had this feel for the game and, you know, your swing and what was going on, that he felt like he was always ahead of you. He felt like he was ahead of the game. So I just, you know, obviously he was dominant and, you know, his stuff was incredible. But I always thought his smarts to me were just like, his feel for baseball was just at another level. And then Smoltz was, you know, Smoltz had a great slider. I mean, his slider was just – it was unhittable. You know, he threw a slider and it was unhittable. So he – you know, both guys, they did it in different ways, but they're both certainly deserving and were – you know, they were great pitchers for just – and the, I think we – one of the big qualities about the Hall of Fame to me is the length of time which you can be great. And I think it feels – and that's really one of the – you know, the defining traits of Hall of Famers is the length of time that they're able to be at the top of their game and at the top of their profession. And for the four guys that went in, I thought those were really the guys of, you know, kind of my generation, a little bit before me, that were able to sustain greatness for a long period of time.
And Craig Biggio, I mean, he put up the great numbers, but he never won a World Series, which is kind of hard to believe with all of the great seasons he had, some really good teams and everything. I guess you'd have to be in the right place at the right time sometimes to win that. I mean, is that something where do you cherish those moments that, you know, you were fortunate enough to be on teams that did win a couple?
Well, you know, of course, I think you know, the world, it's hard, you know, it's really hard. And I the first two times I went to the playoffs, won the World Series, you think, just get to the playoffs, we'll win. And then they get there three more times and you don't win. So it is hard. And it's, you know, you definitely feel blessed. And it's, you know, when you hear, you know, Cole Hamels talking about his no-hitter, and he said it doesn't top the World Series. The World Series is still better. And I thought that was – I'm glad he said that, because I think it's true. There's nothing like a World Series. It's, you know, it's the greatest 10 days of your baseball career. And so for me to be a part of two of them is certainly the thing you remember by playing.
Yeah, I heard you got a nice ovation in Arizona the other day. Before I let you go, being with the Brewers a lot as a player, and then, as I mentioned, executive broadcaster, now the manager, how special is it? You sometimes pinch yourself because you did grow up in Wisconsin, and to be in this seat right now, it has to be pretty special, isn't it?
Well, it is. This is my dad worked for the Brewers when I was growing up in the front office, and it's the team I grew up rooting for, you know, and it's a team that I feel very passionate about, and I've always felt that there's not many baseball players from Wisconsin, and so you do feel just kind of a responsibility to baseball, you know, in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. That's always meant something to me, and so to be here in this spot is meaningful, and it bears a lot of responsibility on my end, for sure.
Craig, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. And now joining us, our regular guest here on Inside China Basin to talk about pitching mechanics and expert in the field, Angel Borelli. And Angel, you were watching Chris Heston as he beat the Brewers on Monday. And it wasn't a dominating performance for him. And in fact, you know, the last couple of outings, he had to throw a lot of pitches to get through the seven innings. And he wasn't a big strikeout pitcher or anything, but he got the win. He's 11-5 now with a 3.14 ERA. Certainly a Cy Young Award type guy with 11 wins, maybe, but certainly a rookie of the year candidate when you look at what he's doing. So I think he'll be up there on both lists by the end of the year if he keeps going this way. What did you see in him that you liked, and what do you think maybe he could even improve on as he goes along?
Well, what I loved about him is he's got a very straight line to the plate. And in the first inning, I think that they showed some views from different sides, so if anybody wants to go back and take a look at it. But, you know, there's always this argument in pitching. And actually, it's not an argument. Kinesiologists don't argue about it. But pitching coaches, many of them teach, when you're at the top of your knee lift, you should twist your body. So for a right-handed pitcher, he'd be taking at the top of his knee lift, his knee, and he'd be twisting it towards the outfield. So, and I think the words they use is like, show your back pocket to the hitter. and there's this twisting that goes on, and which is called counter rotation. And then you counter rotate back to come to the straight line, and then you go down the hill. And this is like a totally crazy concept if you're a kinesiologist, because it just doesn't line the muscles up correctly. It's really odd, but it's something that historically has been taught. What he demonstrates is the perfect way to be on the top of your knee lift. And this is what I would like kids to take a look at this. I think it's important for them once in a while to see somebody who doesn't have bells and whistles, but still gets the job done. And what this allows him to do, and this is why he's got a great upside. He's not even 80% of his potential right now.
Wow.
And the fact that he mentally has it, but he is at the top of that knee lift and he's straight. His shoulders and hips are lined up with the path he's going to take. He strides. His arm, his pitching arm, is in the correct place when his foot touches down. And he rotates in a very, very sequenced way. And he has very nice arm action. And so that's what I like about him. He's got a straight line. He's nice and clean. And when you're clean like that, you have tons of upside. If you're not clean, you're going to find a ceiling to your performance. So that's what I love about him.
It's amazing the movement he's getting on this two-seam fastball. In fact, Buster Posey was our guest on the Monday Inside China Basin podcast, and we talked about maybe falling in love with putting down the sign for the two-seam fastball, but he can't do that. He's still got to mix it up against these great hitters. But that movement that he's getting, it really is remarkable.
Yeah, and actually, I think that I know why he gets such great movement, and it's also part of but the cause of it may be something that I think is a place where he's leaving miles per hour on the mound, which is one thing we don't want to see. And I know he's not blasting guys away with his fastball, but here's what he's doing. He's got an error. If you notice, he's got this really clean style, and the end of his motion is bumpy. I always look at a pitcher's follow through. It tells me a lot about the kind of command he has with his body. He can't just command his pitches. He has to command his body. And if your follow through is really funky, or you're falling all over the place, or something doesn't look right, you've got to take a look at what caused that. And he's got a little funny follow through. And when I analyzed to see what he was doing, he's got an issue with his glove arm, where he stops his glove arm at his body. It actually looks like it's stuck there. And again, in the first inning, they did a view from behind the catcher, and you can see his glove arm is in way too soon. It actually blocks his rotation, and it actually causes him to have to twist a little bit to the left, because his glove arm is stuck in front of his left chest muscle, and it's like blocking full rotation. So his hand actually kind of cuts over a little bit to the left, and my guess is that's what's giving him some movement. Now, would he lose that if he corrected this? Probably not, but he would have more miles per hour on his forcing, plus the end of his motion wouldn't be so rough. We don't want to see a rough finish in the motion, because that's where all the muscles are decelerating, and that's where guys get injured. So he's doing, with the motion he's got at the beginning, if he came to me and said, oh, and by the way, this problem would cause some location issues because he's not fully rotating square. If he came to me and said, I want to keep everything I've got that's great, but where can I make an improvement? That's exactly what the issue I would deal with.
Well, for more on Haston, the other pitchers who threw no-hitters this year as well, and Tim Lincecum, a discussion about him, go to the Fix podcast right here on thesportsvirus.com. You can get that on the iTunes app as well. And Buster Posey talks a lot about Haston in the podcast that you can find on thesportsvirus.com as well. Thanks a lot, Angel. That's pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. I want to thank Angel and Brewers manager Craig Counsell for joining us here on thesportsvirus.com. Coming up on Friday, we'll chat with Giants third baseman Matt Duffy, so don't miss it. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.